Welcome to today's Hearthstone. Let's talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. District 79 Representative Dustin Height joins us on today's program to provide an update from the Iowa State House during the ongoing legislative session. Well, Representative Height, we talked a couple weeks ago about what could be for the legislative session when you reconvene now just over a week ago. And in the meantime, there has been a lot of movement on a lot of bills. I'll start with a bill that hasn't been passed yet, or bills that haven't been passed yet, and that has to do with the fiscal year budget. House Republicans revealing their plan. Kind of give our listeners the overview about what the House is proposing as it relates to the budget and in terms of the impact that COVID-19 had on revenues.
So the House proposal right now is pretty much to try to keep the budget the same as last year, to pass the status quo budget, with the exception of like SSA that we already set this year, and the plan is to leave that alone. But that's kind of what we're looking forward to, is trying to just keep things where they were last year, so we're not having to make those cuts.
Well, and has there been any tapping into reserve funds, or what's that process been like? I know that was talked about, that revenues were cut, but there was quite the reserve that the state was sitting on.
So, yeah, we have some pretty good reserves and rainy day funds, and I think our hope is not actually have to go into those. And the reason we can do that is we've got over $1 billion, I think it's $1.2 billion, from the federal government in aid, and so that's actually allowed us to even keep not touch those reserve funds.
Now, a couple of bills of interest, and I know that have drawn a lot of, I would say, political tension between the parties. We'll start with one that the House has already passed, and we'll talk about the other that the Senate's working on, and I believe debating today. The first has to do with liability protections to businesses, and I know that Republicans in both chambers were supportive of this measure to try and protect businesses from COVID-19-related lawsuits, especially those that'd be frivolous. Democrats had argued that it was taking a lot of the rights away from workers and others who don't have maybe protections as it relates to COVID-19. Kind of give us an overview of what that bill was about and kind of why the Republican leadership landed on what they landed on.
So the bill doesn't eliminate all liability. It just eliminates some of the liability with just negligence, but still keeps in, any intentional act, reckless act, that sort of thing. And the thought process behind it is this is a situation that is just, it's unprecedented. We've not dealt with it in our lifetime. And we have many businesses that are wanting to go back to work, wanting to bring their workers in, but they're concerned that this ball is continuing to move on them, that the regulations, the recommendations change constantly and many times are in conflict with each other. And so they simply don't know what to do, and they're worried that if they follow this regulation that's in conflict with that one, that they might be held to the other one standard and that they're going to have some risk. And so, what we want to provide them with the assurances that they're going to be okay, that they can get back to business, but also still, provide some remedies against the bad actors. So that's kind of where we landed.
Now, one other bill that I think has been very interesting, at least to me, and I followed the legislature now for 6 years, and this is your second year, a bill that you passed, were the floor manager of, actually, that passed unanimously, had quite the sizable amendment attached to it and really changed, I think, objectively, the nature of what the bill intended. And that had to do with seals and how it related to county treasurers. And then a Republican senator from Davenport had added considerable language related to emergency response of elections and the Secretary of State's office, absentee ballots, and so on. First of all, let our listeners know kind of how you learned about the changes and kind of where you see that bill going that had originally had one purpose that you were, in fact, in March, very happy with the result of, to now something that has pretty significantly at least changed the language of the bill.
So, yeah, the original bill had to deal with what has to be included in a county seal. It was very non-controversial. It was a minor change. Just something that we needed to do, kind of a housekeeping type of thing. And now it's been tacked onto it by the Senate, a fairly extensive change in the election process, as you said. As I've looked through that, I'm not sure that bill's going to gain any traction back here in the House. I think there are some concerns among many of my colleagues that the emergency powers that are granted to the Secretary of State are quite broad and unchecked. And so in this case, the Secretary of State extended absentee ballot deadlines and mailed out absentee ballots, but there's nothing in there preventing a Secretary of State from going the other way. And so I think there is a want to do something to provide that check and balance on the Secretary of State, just to make sure that, you know, everything's on the up and up. I'm just not sure that there's support in the House for the language that was passed by the Senate.
Well, and I know when you and I had talked after Secretary Pate had announced this plan, it seemed that you supported what he was doing. And the results, from all accounts, it seems like, based on his office, very low to no voter fraud they found so far. And probably the bigger note, record turnout, which could have pretty big implications coming up in November. You know, where do you stand on where what his decision was and kind of how the primary turned out with the increased turnout in both parties?
Yeah, I mean, like I've told people, I don't have a problem with what Secretary Pate did regarding you know, sending out the absentee ballot request forms and all that. I got no problem with that. The concern that does concern me, and it's not so much that he did it, it's the fact that he had the authority to do it, was by changing all the deadlines that have been set by the legislature, you know, passed by two houses, signed off by the governor. That seems a lot of power in one person's hands. And so that's kind of the concern is we need to make sure that there's a check and balance on that. And then it's not anything directed at what Secretary Pate did. It's just simply, you know, this is a situation where these emergency powers were used. We can certainly see where they might be abused. So, you know, like I said, I don't have any issue with what Secretary Pate did at all. And I don't think a lot of my colleagues do. And that's probably why I don't know that the language from the Senate is going to gain any traction here in the House.
So then what's the fate of the bill with the cleanup language, the one that passed 97-0? I guess, how does that work if the Senate passes something, pushes it back to you? Obviously, I think you still want to accomplish what you want to accomplish for the county treasurers.
So the fate of that, I have no idea. And again, I'm giving you my opinion. I don't know, but there's a process where we can send it back to the Senate. And then they can either agree or disagree. And then if they disagree, it can go into a conference committee. Quite frankly, if we don't get my original bill done this year, we'll tackle it next year. It's a good bill. It's something that we need to do. But, you know, if we don't get it done this year, I think life will be okay. We'll move on and we can tackle it next year.
Once again, that was Representative Dustin Height. If you miss any of our Let's Talk programs, you can find them online daily at kniakbls.com under podcasts and subscribe through Apple, Google, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. Hearthstone, a ministry of Wesley Life, supporting the health, independence, and well-being of older adults in Pella.